Okay, verse 17. When the sublime beings become displeased with me, it is the weapon of evil karma returning on me for renouncing the noble ones and seeking bad companions. From now on, I shall renounce all evil friends. Okay, so when sublime beings or holy beings become displeased with me, so this can particularly be, you know, people in our, in, you know, the lineage teachers, or very holy beings, or our own spiritual mentors, when they are showing the aspect of being displeased with us, instead of turning around and saying, my spiritual mentor doesn't appreciate me. I work so hard for them and they don't appreciate me. All they do is criticize me. They don't pay much attention to me. I give them so much dana and they still ignore me. You know, I do so many important things and, you know, I'm always trying to be so kind to my teacher and they just don't have any time for me. Now, it sounds funny, but listen, open your ears. A lot, you hear a lot of this kind of complaint, okay? we're so funny. It's like, here I am. Our spiritual teachers are so fortunate to have me as a student. They should realize their great fortune and be kind to me. That's what we think, isn't it? You know? And then they don't pay us enough attention, or they cancel appointments because they're too busy or whatever, and we're going, oh, how dare they do that? I'm so important. Don't they see what a sincere, earnest, eager, spiritual person I am? Well, I'm just tired, so I'm just going to go out and have a beer instead. You know? I mean, look at us. How spiritually committed are we? Okay, so this is the wheel of evil karma returning on me when this kind of thing happens. What is it? What did we do? We renounced the noble ones and sought bad companions. Okay, so renouncing the noble ones means we renounced spiritual people. We had no time for them. Maybe earlier this life or in a previous life, we had absolutely no time for, you know, spiritual people. When our teachers needed help, we didn't have any time to help them. When they asked us to do things, we had other things to do that were more important. We criticized them and badmouthed them. We gossiped behind their back. And instead, who did we become close to? Bad companions. So bad companions means people who don't have much regard for doing what is wholesome, what is virtuous. Okay, so we've preferred to hang out with people who drink and who drug and go to the disco and, you know, gamble and do kind of iffy business deals. And, you know, we just much prefer those people's company. Or, you know, just even friends that we hang out with and, you know, watch DVDs, watch CDs, go to the movies with. You know, we prefer their company to being around the Sangha or being around our spiritual mentors. Yeah? And so you can see how those kind of actions create the result that, you know, we're distanced from our own teacher by them, you know, seemingly being displeased with us. Yeah? But look what we've done. It is kind of displeasing, isn't it? So in Buddhism, they talk a lot about evil friends. And this doesn't mean, you know, people who have horns on their head and so on. It means people who don't have a regard for the law of karma and its effects. Okay, people who think they're beyond karma, so to speak. And sometimes these people seem really, really well-intentioned. Know, and they seem to really care for us, and they care for us from a worldly viewpoint. So these are the people who come and say, you're going on retreat for 9 days? What a waste! You know, you should go to Hawaii instead and really relax. You know, you're going to sit there and look at your navel for 9 days? Ridiculous! Okay, so these people appear to really care for us, but what are they doing? They're leading us away from the Dharma. Mm-hmm. Or the people when we want to make offerings or we want to make charity, they're the people who say, you shouldn't give so much. If you give, you know, then you won't have yourself. And then, you know, we were going to go off on this backpacking trip and get all this new equipment, and you won't be able to go because you haven't have enough money. Okay? So people who discourage our generosity or discourage our ethical discipline. Or sometimes people who side with us in an argument and egg us on. Okay, the people go, yeah, you're right, you know, your boss or, you know, your family member, they really treated you awfully. You should really put down your foot and, you know, go tell them off or, you know, go do something back. Go retaliate because they need to be taught a lesson. So these people, you know, they appear to be on our side, but what are they encouraging us to do? Create negative karma. Okay, so in our confusion about what is a good friend and what is a bad friend, we hang out with these people, you know, and we don't have any time or any business, you know, anything to do with our spiritual teachers or with people who are actively trying to cultivate their minds and their good qualities. So you can see how that brings the result of our teachers, you know, seemingly being displeased with us. Okay? So instead, what are we going to do? Renounce evil friends. So that doesn't mean, you know, that you go back from the retreat and say, you know, you're an evil friend, I'm not going to talk to you anymore. Okay, I'm renouncing you. Basta finita. Get out of here. Okay? It doesn't mean that. I mean, they're sentient beings. We still look at them with compassion, but it simply means that we don't make these people our closest friends. And when we develop friendships, we don't, you know, deliberately develop friendships with these people because we see what kind of result it brings in our life. But instead, we try and deepen our friendships with people who are, you know, earnestly seeking liberation and enlightenment. And, you know, develop our friendships with each other, with other Dharma friends who understand what we're trying to do in our life and who respect it and encourage us in that direction. Okay. So then verse 18. When others assail me with exaggeration, denigration, and so forth, it is the wheel of evil karma returning on me for disparaging the sublime beings. From now on, I shall never disparage others through exaggeration and denigration. Okay, so when other people assail me with exaggeration, denigration, and so forth, so people exaggerate our bad qualities, or we made one little mistake and they like make a whole big commotion about it, or they pick on us, you know, we have one small kind of irritating quality and, you know, they make a big deal about it and go on and on and on and on. Mm-hmm. Like the person who told me I laughed too loud and went on and on and on about it. I didn't like him very much. maybe it was mutual. Okay, but when this kind of thing happens, I shouldn't say I didn't like him. I didn't like that behavior. Okay. So when people falsely accuse us of doing things that we didn't do, or they insinuate that we did something negative, or they're jealous and so they put us down, you know. So things where they either exaggerate our negative qualities or denigrate our positive qualities and put us down, you know, humiliate us in public or send in a bad review at work or, you know, a bad report card at school or whatever it is, okay? So, we've all had this happen, right? Yeah? Of course, we've never done anything of the sort to other people. No, never. But anyway, this is the wheel of evil karma returning upon me for disparaging sublime beings. So what have I done is, you know, sublime beings, you know, the well-respected, you know, spiritual leaders, our own spiritual teachers, those who are properly keeping their precepts, what have we done is we've disparaged them. You know, the communist government saying His Holiness is a splitter of the motherland, and you know, worst thing that happened to communist purity, you know, that kind of thing, or just general criticism. I mean, what you hear in America a lot, for example, is people saying, "Oh, you know, monastics, those people, they just have sexual problems and intimacy problems, you know. So that's why they choose celibacy. They're running away from life and they're running away from relationships." You hear people say this. Yeah? Okay? So that kind of talk, you know, putting down people who are doing something virtuous, that creates the cause to be, you know, disparaged or have our own good qualities, bad qualities exaggerated. Okay, so we've also like accused people who have kept pure morality of breaking their vows. Yeah, and you know, we may not like somebody, we may be jealous, so we make false accusations against them, or we just project our own garbage mind on them, maybe, and we think we're saying what's true, but it's not true. So we're putting down people who are actually worthy of respect. Okay? So what shall we do instead is never disparage others through exaggeration and denigration. Okay? So really watch, you know, what we're saying about who and speak respectfully of others. Okay? Now, there's a delicate point here that we have to be aware of. But that doesn't mean, you know, sometimes when you hear these teachings like you don't know who's a bodhisattva and who isn't, so don't criticize anybody, or you hear something, I shall never disparage others through exaggeration and denigration. Sometimes we think that that just means we never say anything about anybody and we never speak about anything that isn't right, because if we talk about something that isn't right, you know, it's gossiping, it's denigrating, we could be criticizing a bodhisattva. And so, meanwhile, you know, something rotten is going on, but we're keeping our mouth closed about it because we're misinterpreting these verses. Okay? So if something is not right, it needs to get spoken of. But we do it by talking about the behavior and not criticizing the person. Okay? So if somebody is doing something that appears unethical, instead of saying that person is breaking their vows and making an accusation against the person, you know, we ask a question, is this the proper way to keep vows? Or, you know, this behavior seems questionable to me. Okay? Because otherwise you could be in a situation. I mean, it's the classic cover-up in an abusive family, isn't it? Nobody talks about it. Yeah? So in the name of Dharma, you could just keep your mouth closed, and meanwhile your kids are getting abused, or, you know, something's not right. You know, but in the name of Dharma, well, you know, that person might be a bodhisattva, so I shouldn't say anything, or I'm never going to denigrate anybody, so, you know, I'm not going to question their behavior. That's not right. Okay? So when things smell fishy, we can say the behavior smells fishy and ask questions about it and investigate it. But we can do that without being angry and without having this, you know, judgmental, critical mind. Yeah? Because what we're trying to avoid here is the mind that is angry, upset, you know, takes delight in ruining others' reputations. Now, so that kind of motivation for speaking about what is amiss is very different than the motivation of genuine concern for everybody involved in the situation. Okay? Are you getting what I'm saying here? Yeah? And I'm pointing this out because I had a lot of misunderstanding about this at some time too. And I remember one time, and because Lama Yeshe had, you know, this whole network of different Dharma centers, so he would visit the various centers, you know, from time to time, and a lot would transpass between one visit and the next. And Lama would come, and, you know, a few of us who were working in the center, he would ask us, well, what's going on? Because he needed to know, you know, because he was the spiritual director of the center and, you know, needed to know what was going on. Well, I remember him one time, you know, asking me something, and, you know, something wasn't going right, but I didn't want to say anything because it was like, oh, that's going to be criticizing a fellow disciple in the presence of my teacher and separating teacher and disciple. And, you know, I didn't want to do that kind of thing. And so I kind of hemmed and hawed. And Lama, you know, he said, kind of, look, you can tell me what somebody's doing without criticizing that person. Yeah. And so then, you know, I said, and I qualified it, of course, as, you know, this is how it's appearing to me. You know, instead of, they're doing this and they're doing that, and then they did this. Oh, can you believe? Oh, this person is disgusting. Get them out of here. You know, that's quite different than saying, you know, in my perspective, this is what I've observed. Yeah. This behavior and that behavior and this action and that action, and I can't say I completely understand it, but that's what I've observed. Okay, did you see the difference? Okay, so in all these things, remember here too, to do the taking and giving meditation. So take on the pain of everybody who's being, who's suffering from you know, getting put down or having their negative qualities exaggerated, and then give them happiness, give them friends, give them respect, give them esteem. Okay, the taking and giving meditation for them.